The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
You know, Jesus' own family came to him one day in Mark, and they said, he's crazy, he's nuts, he's casting demons out, he's out of his mind, says he's beside himself. And a lot of people, if your mom and your brothers and your family come out and they say, what are you doing? We can feel a bit intimidated, right? We'd feel like questioning. Not Jesus. They said, hey, your mother's out there. And he said, who's my mother? And who are my brothers? He was so secure in what he was doing. He didn't let people's deal affect him and rattle him and knock him off of being where he was headed. Unfortunately, most people tend to be rather, what's the word, double-minded, you know? Very passionate about one thing, but boy, you get around certain type of personalities and it knocks them off kilter and they become waffling and insecure. And Jesus is really, he's given us the ability to overcome that. And there's a secret to it. It really is a secret. And it's a secret not a lot of people know. And a lot of people who do know it don't do it. But there is a secret. Y'all know what the secret is? Y'all want to know what it is? Turn to Ephesians 6. I knew you'd want to know. Ephesians 6. Spirit is totally leading me into a different direction than the title of that teaching, so we'll have to change that after, okay? Ephesians 6. Here it is. Listen, what I'm going to share with you is the secret to being around people that are lost or that are bitter or that are angry or resentful or are just totally worldly. I come from a very alcoholic family. How many of y'all grew up in alcoholic families? Now, my mother and father, bless their heart, my mother said, I'm not an alcoholic because she never drank before 5. That's what she said. If it's 5 o'clock, we never drink. So my dad by the bar had a little clock, and every one of the numbers was 5, 5, 5, 5, 5. But she did. My mom loved the Lord. She did know the Lord. But she had a policy. She'd never drink before 5. But at 5 o'clock, she'd have that drink to calm herself down. All the way back to when I was a little kid, I remember every night my parents had a drink. Scotch and water. My mom would have, when I was a kid, she used to have those gin and tonics. Or there was this drink that always had the olive in it. Martinis. And then she graduated years later to, what was that thing she drank? My wife didn't hear it. It was just, anyway, I took a sip of it once, went, whoa, Lord. I just am so detached from alcohol. You know, sometimes when you grow up in an alcoholic family, you don't even have anything to do with it. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm blessed. My parents were not violent sorts. They weren't. There was not a lot of abuse. Praise God. There was alcohol consumption, but I didn't suffer like some of these situations. Alcoholic parents where there's abuse, there's sexual abuse. It's really nightmares. Well, you know, you go back as an adult, the alcohol's still there. You go right back in that. And you know there's people that cannot be drinking alcohol and still have an alcoholic mindset? You can be free from alcohol, not have drugs, but you still got an alcoholic mind. In other words, you're still an addict to something. You're still addicted. Like that's the problem with these 12-step programs. The problem I have with 12-step programs is you never really get free. You still say, well, I'm a recovering alcoholic and you know, the new addiction is really the 12-step program. That's the way to get free. If you miss that, you're going to fall off the wagon. So, thank God for Jesus. Amen. He makes all things new. Good amen. Well, deliverance is deliverance. You know, when you get delivered, I mean, not just saved, but delivered from the demonic roots of addiction. You know what deliverance is? Deliverance is so thorough that you will even forget you were addicted. You can come to the point, you don't even remember what you were addicted by. Somebody says, well, don't you remember? I don't even remember. That's deliverance. And it would tell that in the Psalms. Well, anyway, there is a secret when you get around people, particularly families and environments where there's a lot of spirits whirling around. I remember I learned this back in the 70s, although I perfected it in the mid-80s after I got into the ministry of deliverance in the early 80s. I would go home about 83 on, I remember I learned how to operate in this, and it was very effective. In fact, from about the time I began to move in deliverance, my times at home became significantly different. When I grew up in Salado, Louisiana, right outside New Orleans, we grew up on a golf course in Country Club Estates, and right behind our house was this big golf course. And many a night, when I was young, I'd go out walking on that golf course. In fact, that was the night I got turned on to marijuana. Summer of 68, my brother took me to walk a golf course, turned me onto this joint, and I got stuck on that for a couple of years. But after I got saved, I'd still go walking out of my golf course. It'd be at the house. It'd be Christmas time. And after a couple of hours, I didn't know what it was. I was just so uncomfortable. It was so disconcerting. And I'd have to go for a walk and just kind of get out there and speak in tongues, get my freedom back, go back in the environment and, you know, be civil. But like I said, after in the early 80s, when I got in deliverance, the Lord began to show me a principle. And it's really found right here in Ephesians 6, verse 12. Y'all know this verse? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So what I began to realize when I began to come into deliverance was my problem is not the people. It wasn't perhaps my father or my brothers or different relatives or friends of the family. Those were not the problem. People with certain attitudes and tendencies and traits and characteristics that had never changed, even though I've been gone 25 years, they were still stuck in the same place. They were not the problem. That was an incredible revelation because I always thought I would tend to wrestle with flesh and blood. You know, I would find myself angrier, hurt, or resentful, or just, you know, self-pitier, getting up under the old things. And I was wrestling with flesh and blood. I was spiritually dull. Even though I had been saved in the early 70s, I walked in spiritual dullness for many, many, many years. And the result was I tended to be a thermometer. You know, that whatever the environment was, I tended to reflect it. Situations tend to bring me down. Circumstances began to tended to control me. I'd go to a situation, and if it was not conducive to the Lord, you know, I would be tossed to and fro by every wind. Praise God, when I began to learn about deliverance, I found out that Jesus Christ lives inside of me. And if you look at the way Jesus was, he was the man. In any situation, Jesus said, he was the man. When he walked in the room, he was the man. Now, everybody, people didn't know that. When Jesus walked in the room, but you know the demons knew it. When Jesus walked in the room, demons would scream out, hey, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. Have you come to deliver us or cast off all the time? Demons would scream out. He'd tell them, be quiet. Don't reveal me like that. When Jesus walked in the room, demons would manifest. When he walked in, he was a thermostat. He set the tone. He was the man. He was in all meekness, all lowliness, all humility, all brokenness. And yet he commanded a power and a presence in the spirit world that no one has ever rivaled. Yet, you know, when you're saved, if you're saved, then Jesus lives inside of you. Can you hear that? The Spirit of the Lord lives inside of you, and you can be the man or the woman, wherever you are, whatever you do. You can walk in and be a thermostat and set the tone. You can. We may not, but we can. Amen. Greater is he that's in me than what? He that's in the world. We have the potential to walk in authority in this world. We're seated with heavenly Christ in heavenly places. We're seated in high places. We don't have to be run over by the lawnmower of life. How's that for an allegory? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So you say, well, how do we do that? I mean, I know that. You're not saying I don't know, but how do I really do that? How do I flesh that out in reality where I can quit being a thermometer? Now, let me ask you honestly. How many of y'all feel like a lot of times you're a thermometer? You're at work. Maybe it's you at work. You're at work or school. And whatever everybody's into, you kind of just gravitate. You're kind of a follower. Kind of mob psychology. You tend to go with the crowd. Huh? You let bygones be bygones. You don't want to stand it. You don't want to make a fool of yourself. Don't want to be embarrassed or deemed ridiculous. You're kind of fearful or timid to stand up for what you believe. Well, that's kind of common. Frankly, leaders are hard to find. Most people tend to be followers. It'd be a little difficult if there were more leaders than followers. Who would follow the leaders? You know what the secret is? The secret is to recognize who your enemy really is. Your enemy, the problem, is not in people. And quit wrestling with flesh and blood. See, because all Satan wants to do in your brain is whisper to you about so-and-so and such and what they did and build a case where you throw up a wall, you judge, you do whatever, you gossip speaking, but that's, you're right under the authority of Satan. Because you're wrestling with flesh and blood. If you're born again, God has given us spiritual eyes to see what's really going on in situations. And what's really going on is we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our enemy is principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness high in heavenly places and spiritual rulers of the darkness of this world. That's what that scripture says. There are all kinds of spiritual dynamics going on in every context, every situation. And so God wants to open our eyes to see what's going on in the spirit. And when you can really see what's going on in the spirit, then you know how to fight. You know how to respond in the spirit, not in the flesh or the soul. And Christ came, he knew how to operate in the spirit. People would come at him and throw things at him, and he just kind of went right around what they were saying to hit the heart of the matter. He knew what he was dealing with. He wasn't intimidated by men's persons. That's what I like about the Apostle Paul. Neither was he. Apostle Paul was, man, nobody intimidated. In Galatians, he said, well, I went to see Peter, James, and John in Jerusalem, who seemed to be pillars, but whatever they were, it didn't matter to me. He made it real plain. He says, I'm not impressed by who they are. He knew whom he served. He wasn't going to get under. The implication of those verses in Galatians 2 is that a lot of people in Jerusalem probably were impressed by Peter, James, and John. I mean, I can understand that, particularly friends of Ananias and Sapphira. I can understand a bit of them, but they come up to Peter and they said something, boom, they're dead, you lie, you die. Pretty heavy stuff in the church. People, you know, walk a little slow around a man whose people were healed by his shadow, but not Paul. When Paul was around Peter, in fact, you know, he was so unimpressed, he had no problem rebuking him right there in the book of Galatians, speaking about his sin, and we to this day can read about it. The problem was Paul knew his battle was not with flesh and blood. It wasn't with people. People were not the problem. Satan was the problem. Unclean spirits and demons, wicked spirits are the problem. And he understood that he had authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. There were more conquerors than him who triumphed through us. So we need to understand that. That your mother or your father or your siblings or your people at church, or your pastor, or your boss, or those co-workers, they're not your problem. Satan is your problem. And when we focus the emotion of our frustration at the enemy, we have results in good fruit. But when we focus it on people, it invariably compounds and exacerbates and exponentially causes more problems. Bitterness, we tell you, the root of bitterness causes many to offend. So, God wants to give us wisdom on how to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Let me give you something practical I did when I first was learning this. I would go home at Christmas. There's all kind of dynamics. My older brother is into a cult. Hare Krishna cult. He got into it the year I got saved. And he's still into it, not quite to the degree. But, I mean, he would come home, and although he wouldn't particularly try to proselytize us in that cult, but he would bring that spirit in. I mean, Hindu spirit sitting in the house. And then there were my brothers and all the stuff, and they bring their friends, and then there was the alcohol flowing. And I remember usually about halfway through Christmas time, I was only there about 2 days, that's all I could handle, I would find myself going to this little room in the hall in my home. I would close the door. This was after I moved in deliverance. I learned how to do this. And I would speak in tongues, and I would begin to bind the demons in the people in the closet where nobody could see me. I would speak in tongues a while. Sometimes, and then I would stand there with my eyes, and I would say, in the name of the Lord, I bind that Hindu demon on my brother. I bind that alcoholic spirit. I begin to do battle in the spiritual world in that closet at home. Wrestling against flesh and, not flesh and blood, principalities and powers, binding the demons, forbidding them to manifest, taking authority over them, breaking the power for me. Sarah, it was a cool time. I'd be in there 5 or 10 minutes. Finally, I'd walk out. And do you know, I promise you, every time I did that, it was a significant difference in the atmosphere. Something would change. Significant. And nobody knew what was going on but me. Because I learned how to be a thermostat. I learned how to set the temperature. A little cold? Go in the closet. Getting too hot? Go in the closet. Didn't Jesus say about something? Go into the closet and what? Close the door? Amen? He said, sometimes you got to go in a closet, you got to close the door. He says that your Father who sees in secret will hear you, and he will reward you openly. He will reward you. He'll do what you're asking. Whatever you ask, you receive, because you keep his commandments to do those things that are pleasing. Now, I don't know what happens in the spirit world when you do that, but I have an idea. Serious angels come down. Serious angels. See, there, we got angels around us, praise God. But there are some big old angels that God really, I mean, they really want to come down and help us out. All right, war angels. I trailed about this Friday night, how the church in Acts 12 was praying when Peter was in prison. I mean, they were praying and praying. They didn't have much faith, because when he got free, they didn't believe it. They wouldn't even open the door for the man. But, you know, in spite of that, their prayer released an angel. This angelic being came down from heaven and released him. A lot of times we don't even know what happens when we pray, angels are released. When we pray, angels come down and do battle. And they see the devastation of the demonic. They see the infestation and the catastrophes of the demonic down here. They want to come down. I believe that angelic want to come and do business for the saints of God. They want to, but they need our intercession. As we pray and intercede and then take authority, it releases the angelic beings. And they do things. And I have perceived and seen and understood and comprehended and discerned in the spiritual world at times what they do. Sometimes clearer than others. But it's really cool. It's really great to know. You don't have to live stomped down. You don't have to be under your deal of the deal of people. You may be a wife. And you feel like you're under the deal of your husband. And he's just kind of half-hearted. He's getting in deception or this or that. And you feel like, well, he's my husband. Therefore, I have to be, I beg to differ. If Jesus Christ is in you, you don't have to be under anybody. Can any man? Husbands, you may be under the deal of your wife. She may have insecurities that manifest certain ways, anger or whatever. And you are intimidated and you get under it. Folks, if Jesus is in you, you don't have to be under her spirits. You're not a witness to them when you're under their deal. Can you hear a man? You know, you don't really love somebody until you're free from somebody. Did you hear what I just said? You can't love somebody until you're free from them. If you're trapped under somebody's thing or their emotion or their control, how can you love them? It's sick. It's soulish. Real love is when you're free from somebody and then you love them. Unconditionally love them. But first you got to get free to love them. Then you're not under their deal. You know how the deal is? How you know if you're under somebody's deal? You're doing fine and somebody else is emotionally upset or angry or hurt or sad or depressed and it transfers on you. And for no reason you're feeling the same way. Folks, that's a bad transference. Amen? You're a thermometer. We've got to learn to be thermostats. Somebody's down and say, well, you know, you may be sensitive, move in the Lord's timing, be gracious, maybe give them space. Those are all valid things. A thermostat, you're wanting to set the temperature so that you're setting the temperature of the relationship. You know that we're God's called us to walk in peace, to walk in joy, to walk overcoming. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. And I tell you right now, I know this or learned this years ago. If I ever allow myself to be intimidated by any person, listen, the demon in that person is the pastor of this church. Did you hear what I said? If I allow myself to be intimidated by one individual, the demon in them is the pastor. Because, and that happens. You've seen pastors in it, but there's one person gives them a look and they go, oh, I better be careful. I don't want to offend. You know, that demon in that person is the pastor. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going there. Praise God. I may go a little bit far sometimes and I need correction, but I'd rather go a little bit far in the direction of being free from men's persons than be enslaved by being intimidated by worrying about what people think. That's a snare. I tell you who I'm really intimidated by and who really scares me, and I'm really walked lightly in front of him. You know what that is? The Lord. Whoa. True. He real short rope here. And he can whisper. Well, sometimes he has to shout. Hopefully it's a whisper. But he gets me and I go, oh, Lord. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Amen? But we can walk in the fear of the Lord. And you can be intimidated by the sovereignty of God. Yes, I'm intimidated by the sovereignty of God. Amen, all day long. But God has nothing but good for me. So if you're here today and you're operating in fear of man, or feeling intimidated or kind of under somebody's power or control or trapped in the dynamics of an unhealthy soulless relationship, God's, if you're born again, the news is you don't have to wrestle against flesh and blood. You can walk in the Spirit. You can rest. But, you know, all you got to do is say, Lord, show me who my real enemy is. Open my eyes. Remember, that's what, Elisha asked God about Gehazi? Was it Gehazi? Elisha said, no, it was Gehazi. She came up and said, oh, Master, look at the army surrounding us all around, the Second Kings. And the Lord's, and Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes, and suddenly Elisha's servant saw that, yeah, the enemy was surrounding them in the natural, but in the spiritual, the heavens were filled with the chariots of the Lord. He had a glimpse of the heavenly host of angelic beings. And he went, oh, okay, cool. Just kind of leaned back with his master, because he had spiritualized to see who the real enemy was. I'm sorry, who the real protection was. And that not to be intimidated by the flesh and blood down there on the ground, but to be encouraged by the angels encamped round about those that feared him. So we don't have to be intimidated and afraid. And that's the greatest thing of Christianity. I grew up being intimidated. I grew up being afraid. I grew up with an angry father, and I was absolutely intimidated and afraid all the time. I mean, it was ridiculous. This deal with authority in my life was so pathetic when I was a young believer. Thank God he delivered me of that stuff. Amen? One reason I enjoy going with Norman Parrish, like I was able to be up down in Guatemala for 10 days or a week just a few months ago. He's my spiritual authority. And you know, in some ways, his personality, it's ironic, because he's not like my dad at all, but there's a part of him that reminds me of my dad. There is. And that's who he is. And when I first started traveling with him years and years ago, down in Guatemala or northeast United States, I would find myself at times in that relationship kind of still intimidated. You know, like when I was with my dad. And I think, this isn't my dad. This is a brother in the Lord. He's an apostle of faith. He's a good guy. But I would still have those feelings, and I would still fight that insecurity. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So I remember I said, Lord, do whatever you got to do in my life. Crush. Turn the fire jets on. Do it to where I'm not intimidated by anybody. I can tell you the good news. When I was with him, this has been going on for a number of years, particularly manifest this time. Spent a lot of time with him at his house, and we go out to eat. Thank you, Jesus. There wasn't even an iota of any of that in our relationship. Nothing. Just real peace, brother, fellowship, confidence, security in who I was. I remember thinking, Lloyd, I thought, you know, Lord did that. That was a deliverance. I didn't do that. I didn't know how to get free of those emotions. You know what I went through? I've gone through a lot of years of suffering. I've gone through a lot of years of trial by faith, because it takes trial. It's suffering to work that stuff out of our personality. Amen? I wish you could just quote some Bible verse at it. I'm sorry, it's not that way. After that, we suffered a while. 1 Peter 5:10. Establish, strengthen, and settle you. So how many of y'all want to be a thermostat this Christmas? Or from here on out? Amen? You're sick of being a thermometer. Well, what I want to do is I want to pray that the Lord will open all of our eyes, just like Elisha prayed for a servant, so we could perceive in the spiritual realm, the angelic beings. You know, if you get a revelation of the angelic beings next to you, you won't be intimidated anymore. That there's a lot of big guys around you. How many of y'all ever seen Earl Campbell? I mean, in the flesh. Well, one time I was at College of Technology at University of Houston, and I was in school there. It was 79 or 80. Wasn't that about the time he was big stuff? Oilers, love you blue and all that. Well, I'll never forget, I was coming around College of Technology upstairs, one of the hallways. It turns out his sister apparently was in the same college taking courses when I was. I turn this hall, and there's this guy coming down the hall, and he filled the hall. I mean, it was this massive Hulk man. And I looked at his face, and I recognized it was Earl Campbell. And so I kind of flattened myself against the wall. He walked by, and I thought, okay, love you blue. Well, you know, years later, I was in a deliverance session with a lady. And there was a real witchcraft spirit in this lady. She was sitting in a chair across from me, and I was praying for her. And I was, she'd been saved, but she really wanted to be free, and she had been into witchcraft. Kind of weird witchcraft. And I was praying for her, and I was sitting in a chair here, and she was about 3 feet away sitting in a chair there. And I was sitting there just praying and commanding the demon to come out. I don't know now why I was doing it like that. Normally you sit next to him. But I was commanding the demon to come out. Just slowly but surely, you have to leave this person. Go. And I never forget, this demon, was this woman was looking at me. All of a sudden, the demon surfaced, and the demon looked at me, and it went, looked this to the my right, and went, and then looked to my left, and went, and then looked over me, and went, and yelled, screamed. I'm sitting there in a chair. This looks to my right, looks to my left, looks over me and screams. And I'm going, whoa, cool. Come out. And that thing began to really manifest and come out. Well, sometime later, I was talking to the girl after she'd had some deliverance. I said, what do you think that was? And she says, well, I can tell you what it was. She says, it saw the angels on your right and on your left. That demon. Do y'all know that demons can see angels? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spirits. God gives us discernment once in a while. But demons, that thing saw these spirit beings on my right and my left, and it got intimidated. And I remember the girl said, yeah, like Earl Campbell. That was a comment she made. Like Earl Campbell angels. There was another time we had a guy here at the church that was into Wicca. Yeah, we had a meeting, and one of the girls was married to this guy or something. A Wiccan worshiper. You know what Wicca is? It's wicked, man. But it's a Satan worship stuff. And this guy came to one of the meetings, and the Spirit of the Lord was, it was about the time of the Brownsville revival stuff, and the Spirit of the Lord was moving and people falling out in the Spirit. Remember that? And I was ministering one night, And this fella came up, and he went out in the Spirit. He was a wicked worshiper. I didn't know it when I prayed for him. He went down in the Spirit. Well, when the service was over, he came in. He said, man, I wanted to tell you. Now, this guy was really into the occult. Now, if you know people that are really into the occult, they discern things in the spirit world that even Christians don't see. He said, I wanted to tell you that you have two beings with you, two angels that stand on both sides. I said, really? He said, yeah, he described them. He saw them that night, they were leaning on swords like this. He said, and their hands were above my head. In other words, they were so tall that when they leaned on the sword was inside my head. He said, they're both golden, they were both sides of me. He said, when you preach, they were both standing. He says, I saw them, and when you laid hands on me, that's why I went out in the Spirit, because I saw those things, and I knew that they had a greater power than I have. This is a wicked guy. He was an honest guy. The guy was honest. I liked him. I actually went to lunch with the guy. Ended up he never did repent. An idiot. I mean, you see those angels, you know the power is greater, you still hang on to your wicked stuff. Idiot. I'm sorry. No better word describes it. But you know that, bless me again, I witnesses that there's really beings around us. Powerful, stronghold beings of the Lord. And you know what? If you're saved, they're around you too. Can you hear that? And guess what? The more of a threat you are to the kingdom of God, the bigger ones God sends. Now some of y'all, unfortunately, you may just have little wimp ones. You know, God's got an angel around you, but he's kind of one like, in a wonderful life, he's waiting to get his wings. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Well, you know what I mean. But how would you? Never thought I'd say that. One wing. But how would you like to have some serious Earl Campbell angels? Amen? Well, it depends on how much a threat you are to the powers of darkness. How much of a thermostat you are. Instead of a thermometer. So let's all stand. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I thank you today, and what I pray for all of us, as you would give us a passion to become thermostats to life, to set the tone and not always be run over. If you would, if you're so inclined, say this after me. Jesus, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. run over, stepped on, pushed down, pushed around. I believe you're the Son of God. You died for my sins. I turn from my sins. I turn my heart to you. I surrender everything in me to you. Now come and live inside of me in a fresh way. You see, the reason I prayed that is because I'm giving you warfare prayer, but just discern, there's maybe people here that aren't saved. So you need to be saved. Don't try this unless you're saved. Hello? The Bible talks about the seven sons of Sceva who tried to cast this demon out and they weren't saved. Don't go there. So if you're not saved, get saved. Right? Say, Jesus, give him everything. Surrender everything to Jesus. Then this stuff works. Okay, say this now. Jesus, you're in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Help me walk in the authority and the power and the anointing of the living God. I'll no longer be intimidated by men's persons, by people and their emotions and feelings, by walking authority in Jesus Christ. And I'll recognize my true enemy are the unclean spirits sent to devour and walk about as roaring lions. Teach me, Jesus. Here's a prayer. Open my eyes that I might see who the real enemy is. Not the people or things around me, but the prince of the power of the air, whom you've called me to crush him under my feet. Thank you, Jesus. Grant it, Lord. Amen. Let's just raise our hands to the Lord and surrender right now. Just ask him. Cry out to the Lord. Come, Lord, Father, right now, come. Open the eyes and now. Open the eyes. Open the eyes. Hand of the Lord, open the eyes in the spirit. We can see and discern reality in the spiritual realm. Lord, we can be thermostats. We can walk as sons and daughters of the living God. Angelic beings would rejoice to know that we are indeed part of the process of God bringing his kingdom on this earth. Do it, Lord, do it! Open the eyes of the Spirit in this place. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.